The reading today is taken from Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back at them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, all. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, especially it's such a beautiful day. The psalmist reflects on that when he says, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon his head that runneth down from his beard, even Aaron's beard. I'd just like to start with an observation and a slight comment. Keith, I liked your thing about chocolate, the demonstration of chocolate. It must be that you've been talking to my wife, because I have a sweet tooth. And also, when you removed it from the stage, you must know something about me. Well, that's the way the Holy Spirit works anyway. And so this morning, we continue in our series, a preaching series, about the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been doing this over the past few weeks. And over the time, we would have learned that when we, as Christians, come to the Lord, we are gifted with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then empowers us to bear fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this morning, the focus of my sermon is self-control. Self-control. And I'll be basing what I'm going to be saying on the passage of scriptures, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. And in that passage, what we learn is that the church, which was based in Crete, so Paul as an apostle was starting up churches in different places, and he started a church in Crete. But the church was facing a challenge, and that challenge was about false doctrine. It was a young church. And so in response to this, Paul was given one of his converts, Titus, instructions, clear instructions, firstly, because the church was a young church, to appoint elders. elders who would lead the flock in the way of the Lord. And the basis of that being by teaching sound doctrine. And central to this doctrine which Paul was talking about is the fruit of the Spirit, and more particularly the attribute of self-control. Now, incidentally, the dictionary, I think the Oxford Dictionary, defines self-control as the ability to control one's self, especially one's emotions and desires in difficult circumstances. But in the passage of Scripture, Paul gives us an insight, a different insight into what self-control is. It's not only about our emotions, our desires. It's also about the mind. And so he talks to all men who were supposed, who were those who were to be elders. He speaks to older women. He also speaks to young men and younger women. And there are themes about self-control which run quite through all of this. And this morning, I want us to explore those briefly. And then we conceive that the situation that the church in Crete found themselves, they were living in an alien environment, is the same situation we face today. We have to show self-control. And how can we show that? And Lord, at this time, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. So the church in Crete was faced with what I describe as an existential challenge. And that challenge presented itself in the form of false teachers. And Paul, in this passage of Scripture, describes who these false teachers were. Rebellious men of circumcision, because Jewish false teachers. And what were they teaching? They were teaching man-made doctrines and Jewish myths. And the net effect of all of this is that the faith of the young Christians were disturbed. So this was an onslaught by the devil, by the evil one, in the face of which Paul was given clear instructions to Titus, what he should do. Firstly, he was to appoint elders. And these elders were qualified people to shepherd the flock and teach sound doctrine to the people of God. Sound doctrine. What sound doctrine? Doctrine that is wholesome. Doctrine that is healthy. But also doctrine that is aligned to the word and to the will of God for our lives. So they were to teach sound doctrine. But also Paul had a word specific for the teaching for each of those of these different groups. So in a sense and by extension, what Paul was saying is applicable to each one of us here. Because each one of us falls into one of those categories. Older men. Older women, younger men, and younger women. So what did Paul have to say? Well, Paul was consistent about the message which was about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, there are certain attributes about the fruit of the Spirit which are consistent. There's a consistent thread in all of this, which he said to older men, older women, younger men, and younger women. And I want to tease out some of these today. So, he says to older men, verse 2, teach older men to be dignified, temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love. So I suggest to you that a number of things I look at. Temperate, dignified, sensible. And when he talks about to the older women later on, we'll see he talks about a behavior which is reverent. So, temperate. Teach older men to be dignified, sensible, sound in faith, love, and perseverance, temperate. The word that temperate derives from is a Greek word, pachilos, and it translates to be sober and vigilant. It's about seriousness, sobriety, sober and vigilant, which arises from the literal meaning of the word, which is the opposite of being intoxicated with wine. So, two connotations there. Sober, sobriety, vigilance, but it's also the opposite of someone who's intoxicated with wine. And the analogy there is that those who are not, or people who are not intoxicated with wine, would have self-control and clarity of mind. So, in other words, would be more control of our senses, self-control and clarity of mind. So what Paul was saying to older men is that older men should be marked by being steady in mind and free of the excesses of life. So life is lived in a sane, stable manner, well-balanced spiritually, mentally, and physically. So temperate, to be temperate, is about being serious. It's a seriousness of the mind, control of the mind, being in control of our faculties. But Paul also tells Titus to teach the older men to be dignified. What does it mean to be dignified? It refers to the outward decorum and propriety of good manners and conduct, and the inward thought life and attitude, which should be manifested and demonstrated by people who are matured Christians. So it's about the outward decorum and propriety of good manners and conduct, and the inward thought life and attitude that should be marked by spiritual maturity of Christians. So in other words, it's about seriousness of mind and character. To be dignified is to be of serious mind and character. This doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that when Paul says this, that we as Christians, when we are dignified, we should not have light moments. We should not laugh. What he's saying here is that aspect of our lives where people make light of serious things, such as tragedy, such as sin, such as immorality. We should not be counted as one of those. So the old men then, in terms of being dignified, they have experienced both the tragedies and triumph of life. They have known the euphoria of success and the tragedy of defeat, knowing that emotions quickly change and that our lives cannot be based on these changing emotions. So he says that you'd be temperate, and we should also be dignified. Soberness of mind and character. But he also says, teach the older men to be sensible. But what does being sensible mean? Sensible in this context means to be sound, to be of sound mind. And the word sound means to be healthy, wholesome, to be aligned with God. So in other words, we see that these three attributes are talking about the mind. Soundness of mind, seriousness of mind and character, and clarity of mind. These are the attributes we should manifest, or we must manifest, if we are people who have self-control. So this is what he says to Titus, that he must or should preach to the men. And then in verses 3-5, he also talks about the women, that they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, or slaves to much wine, and they are to teach what is good and to train the younger women to be reverent in behavior. The behaviors have to be respectable behavior before God, before man, especially in the way they talk. Paul mentions being slanderous here, because slander or gossip, as we know it, in other parlance, is also a Satan-like kind of way of talking. He also mentions about not being enslaved to wine. And one writer said, it is highly feasible that the whole thing about alcohol dependency and its impact on the community manifested itself in that community, in the church in Crete. So they were warned about dependency on alcohol, being controlled, being slaves to alcohol. And here we see it's not only about the mind that being dignified and temperate is, this is about a character. This is about behavior. So, to be reverent, to be respectable in behavior, but also to avoid slander, gossip. I was going to say idle gossip, but gossip is gossip. There's nothing like idle gossip. Because it's that kind of form of life which doesn't add value. It is about being critical. It is about being negative. It doesn't convey anything which is positive, life-giving, or something that enhances our walk as Christians. It's that kind of language. And we see it everywhere in our homes, in our offices, even in the church. People spend time talking about leaders, talking about others. And this is the behavior that Paul is saying. He directed it against women, but to be fair, it's not only women who slander. I think it's applicable to all. I've been in members of churches where I've seen the devastating effect of slander. Small talk, it starts in trickles, and then it becomes something massive. So, Paul tells Titus, he admonishes him, entreats him to teach women to be of reverent behavior and also to refrain from talk which is slanderous or gossip and also dependency on to be slaves to alcohol. And then in verses 4 and 5, he talks about the young women. The older women are to train the young women to love their husbands and children. But also Paul entreats Titus to teach the older women, ask the older women to teach the younger women to be self-controlled, pure, and working at home, kind and submissive to their husbands. So it continues again, this theme of self-control. Being temperate, dignified, sensible, but also having a behavior that is respectful, refraining from slander. And again, it continues this theme with younger people. Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. And then he directs his attention at Titus. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to speak against us. So he sticks with the theme of language, the use of our tongue, how we talk. So, if there's things that we could learn from this, because I can go on for a very long time, is that self-control is one of the aspects or the attributes when we say the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control It's a challenge that each one of us, without exception, in some way or the other, would face as we want to develop and grow in a character, in a behavior as Christians. Self-control is about the mind. That's why Paul says the attributes that elders should have, the attributes that Christians, mature Christians should have, is about control of the mind. It's about seriousness of the mind, control of the mind, and soundness of the mind. These are the attributes. But it's also about character, the way we behave, reverent way. And these are the ways that bring glory to God. Now, I don't know how you rate. I know how I rate in a scale in terms of this whole issue of self-control. You may be here today, when having listened to this short talk, considering yourself, I'm considering myself, that perhaps there are areas that we fall short in terms of being temperate, in terms of being dignified, seriousness, having reverent behavior. I have news for you today and encouragement for you today. And that is to say that all of us, without exceptions, without exception, are work in progress. When we come to Christ, we have not arrived, but it starts a process where daily we work with Him. He deals with us. He makes us more and more to have the countenance, the attributes that He wants us to have, the attributes that make for godly life, the attributes that when we live our lives, show to others, shine the light of God so that others look on us and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's why the issues of being temperate, of being dignified, of being sensible, have to do with the mind. It starts with the mind, the thinking, the thought process, the attitudes, by the renewing of the mind. And how do we renew the mind? Paul says, through the teaching of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine being doctrine which is healthy, which is wholesome, which is aligned to the word and the will of God for our lives. Because when we apply sound doctrine, then we live godly lives, lives that are pleasing to God, lives which manifest the fruit of the Spirit, lives which manifest self-control. I say to you this morning that God, that if we as Christians should fulfill the great commission which we have to go into all the world to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that Jesus has taught them, then we have to live holy lives which manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It's something we cannot do on our own, but it's a continuous journey that we develop and graduate as we continue to give our lives to Him on a daily basis. Amen.